This is the Future of IP Protection podcast, brought to you by MorphVision. This show is dedicated to arming companies with the skills, know-how, and technology they will need to future-proof their IP protection strategy for the years ahead.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Future of IP Protection podcast. I'm Brandi Spence, Head of Marketing with MorphVision.
Today, I'm speaking with Michael Bernard, co-founder and president at Nightcap, the drink spiking prevention scrunchie as seen on Shark Tank. Michael, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Thanks for having me. Looking forward to it.
So Michael, can you tell us a little bit more to start off with about yourself and your background and a bit about maybe how you and your sister, I believe, co-founded the Nightcap?
I went to Florida State University and I started this company when I was in school there. It was my last year. Is actually like my fourth and a half semester there, my final semester. My sister, Shira, had thought of the product. It actually came to her in a dream after some of her friends went off to college and had this experience. She was 16 at the time, and she woke up from the dream and cut up our mom's pantyhose and created the first prototype. And I came home from school in the summer, like May or something, and I saw the prototype sitting on the dining room table, and I was like, you know, I was thinking about why hasn't anything been done to, you know, prevent drink spiking, or why has nothing been adopted on a mainstream scale? And I thought of like three things. I thought it had to be reusable, it had to be convenient, and then most importantly, it needed to be marketable. So we don't want to like scare people into using it. I don't think that that's a successful model, you know, to say, oh, like you're going to be drugged or something if you don't use our product. And I think that's why other companies have failed in the past that have tried something. And the scrunchy aspect of the product makes it kind of like this fun solution to a serious problem, and people like to use it. And I thought that that was really what had like, it's like a viral component to it. And that made it really successful from the marketing end of it. And so those reasons, I decided to drop what I was doing that summer. And I just got to work on working with her and creating the company.
Awesome. And I mean, you're right. The scrunchy component is what, you know, makes it interesting and fun. And it was already sort of a fad for girls to wear their scrunchies on their wrist anyway, right? So you're just kind of taking advantage of something that everybody's doing anyway, right?
Yep, exactly.
And then you guys went on to Shark Tank. Tell me a little bit more about that experience. What was that like?
So COVID hit. I felt kind of pressured when I graduated to like go get investors right away. But then COVID hit and I was like, well, no one's going to, you know, this is a product for going out. No one's going to use this anyway. So I just went, I was living at my parents' house and I was like, all right, we'll just kind of take it slow because what, like, I don't know, I'm not going to get a job right now anyway. So we went ahead and applied for Shark Tank. And after, I don't know, it was like 6 months or something, we got on the show. And it was, you know, terrifying experience, but it was, it went about as good as it possibly could have gone. It's really like a surreal thing where it feels like you're in the TV, or like I've been watching that show since I was like 10 years old, and then actually being in it, it's like, it's almost like an out of body experience. Some people say they black out. I didn't remember anything when I left, besides the fact that we got a deal, but I had to watch the show to remember what happened. So
that is so cool. It is one of the shows I love to watch. I'm sure they cut a lot out of it as you guys are negotiating, but
Yeah. I can, some of the pitches can be an hour, 2 hours, and you know, they have to cut it down to 7 to 12 minutes or something like that. So ours was one of the fastest deals in Shark Tank history. So,
oh, no kidding.
Better than that. Yeah.
How long did it take?
It was about 30 minutes of actual like pitching.
Amazing. And you guys got a deal.
We did. We did
get Lori. A deal
with Lori. Just who we wanted.
That's awesome. All right. After you signed a deal with Shark Tank, you started seeing knockoffs.
Yeah, I would say about a year after, maybe somewhere in between 6 months to a year. It wasn't right after. Now, I think, I don't know if they come straight from Shark Tank, but what I do think happens is that these factories and stuff that are all selling, you know, they have those different apps that you can see everyone's sales on there. They see something that's super easy to copy, like our product. There's literally zero barriers to entry. There's not even a mold for it. You can make it at home if you wanted, really. So they find some stuff that's easy to make, that's selling a lot. And, you know, if you go on Shark Tank, your sales are going to probably go up a lot. And they find that and they just start pushing them out. So we've taken down over 3,000 knockoffs to date. And we get them all down, but the hard thing is that they can sometimes be put up faster than you can take them down. And that's where it gets tricky.
So you're playing a little bit of that whack-a-mole game.
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to describe it.
And where have you seen those primarily?
So, I mean, Alibaba, AliExpress are the worst. And then, you know, those kind of flow into Amazon. And then you have to go in, and Amazon is the best when it comes to patent protection. And, you know, once you get an Apex number, Apex ID, it's really easy to get them down. They come down real fast. So if you go on Amazon US, there's no knockoffs on there. If someone puts a knockoff off, as soon as we see it, it's down within like 24 hours. Alibaba, AliExpress can be a little trickier. We work with different organizations. It was actually really difficult at first to get them removed from there, but we started working with this nonprofit called IACC, and they are like the one organization that has actually gotten stuff down for us. They have a really high success rate, and you know, it's a nonprofit. They do amazing work. So,
yeah, very familiar with the IACC, International Anti-Counterfeiting Coalition. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, they're really good, especially for smaller brands. They have a lot of programs that help them.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, there's a few different platforms here and there that like don't respect IP at all, like Etsy. They're awful. You know, you literally have to go get a court order or something, which costs tens of thousands of dollars potentially, just to get off like knockoffs that may not be selling that much. But some of the platforms make it so if you are a small business, you can't even afford to get them down. Like, it's built for large corporations, which is sad. So.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, you recently won an Amazon Apex case through the Neutral Patent Evaluation Program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I don't know how old this program is, but it sounds like it's pretty new from people I talk to. But there's something called the Amazon Neutral Patent Evaluation Program. And essentially, if you find a knockoff and you get it down and they appeal and they get put back up, you have to get them back down. You have to go through this thing called the Neutral Patent Evaluation Program. And what happens is you tell Amazon that they're infringing and they reach out to the seller. And if the seller agrees, you put up $4,000 and they put up $4,000. And then it's sent to a third party like law firm who will decide if they're infringing or not infringing. And if you win, you get your $4,000 back. If you lose, then $4,000 is what they use to pay the intermediate lawyer. And if, you know, if the seller declines to do it at all, then they just get removed, which is what happened the first few times. They won't even, like, they know they're infringing, so they just give up.
Now, not worth fighting it for them, right?
Yeah. And so where the expensive part comes, you have to have your lawyers write up a document, you know, showing how they're infringing. I didn't even know that that was, I thought it was just like a lawyer looks over it and decides, but you actually have to like put some 10 to 20 page documents forward explaining why they are infringing. And so that can be a little pricey.
I'm sure. So this one, so you said the first few, they just didn't even bother arguing with you guys on it. Yeah. They just like let it go. So you were able to take them down. And then I guess you did go through one where they did put it through.
Yeah. So this one was like, they were trying to get by this technicality in the language in our patent, where it says that the pocket is coupled to the scrunchie, and like they put their pocket on the inside of the scrunchie instead of on the outside. And they're saying that the term coupled means it's like connected. And if it's like inside, then it's one thing and it's not connected. I mean, it was a argument. I don't know if it was a good one, but they lost. And we had a continuation patent going, and now we put that new language in there to make it so that that's not even an issue anymore. So once that's granted shortly, that language won't even be in there. We won't have that issue again.
That's wonderful. It's good that you had that resource to fight it. So for small businesses that are experiencing this kind of problem, what would be the number one piece of advice that you might give to them?
So the first thing I would do is sign up for some type of software that scans the internet, because it's very difficult to just keep, what, you're going to go through yourself and scan every possible thing, search every keyword. It's really difficult without a professional software to do it. So that's probably number one. And then, I mean, make sure that you have your proper IP protected, because and have covered all your bases. And that way, when you find them, you can use these platforms to automatically remove them. Sometimes with the Chinese ones, they can get really difficult. That's why we use IACC for that. They are the only ones that have been able to get those down. And it's not easy, especially if it's like a Shopify store or something where it's like they run their own store, so you can't, it's not like a third party platform where they can just remove them. So, I mean, it costs too much to sue them most of the time, unless they're really putting out numbers. So, I mean, sometimes you just have to ignore it if you can't get it down. Like on Etsy, we just, it is what it is at this point.
Have you ever attempted any soft notices directly to the sellers?
Yeah, in my experience, we've tried those. They don't do anything. They, like, these sellers don't care. They just close up shop and then they'll just open another one and sell the same thing. They just, it's, they're like rats everywhere. Roach, I don't know. They're like, they just, they don't care. They're out of the country and they just drop ship it and stuff. And they, like, you know, it's almost impossible to, to,
yeah, really... it's a very low risk situation for them, right? So,
yeah, the IP system in this country is just a disaster for small businesses. It's, it needs to be cheaper to be able to take down serial infringers like that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big problem for sure. And you're right. I mean, it's a good thing that you do have some resources such as organizations like the IECC, but yeah, it's a shame when there are marketplaces that, that make it much more difficult for the smaller guys to take care of that.
I think that any large platform, like, you know, obviously Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, they should all have some type of program similar to Amazon's Apex program. I think maybe the government should force them to, like, if you're a third-party platform that does over a certain amount in revenue, that you have to, like, enforce IP without having to get court orders, because it's just not, without that, it's like, it's a joke.
Yeah. Well, actually, the Consumer Reform Act, which is passing, is going into effect in June, will help or should help with some of those serial infringers too. So I think that there's a trend there. But yeah, it's going to take some time.
I'll look that up. That'll be nice, because it's something that has to be done.
Absolutely. Well, tell me, what's next for Nightcap? What are the next 3 to 5 years going to look like for you guys and your business?
So we want to continue growing with universities. One of our main points of revenue is selling to universities in bulk, and they hand them out to students. So we'll sell 500, 1,000, 5,000 units to university, and they'll hand them out just like they'll do with, like, condoms and stuff like that.
Right.
We want to get into music festivals, especially with our disposable product called Stop Tops. We want festivals to kind of sell them as a sponsorship, and we can put, like, liquor companies' logos on them and put QR codes, and they can sell tickets to future events and stuff like that right through their drink. Now, that's, like, the main thing we really want to get into. And then we have some new products. I actually have some right here. We have the Nightcap Seltzer Koozie and the Beer Koozie. Oh, yeah. These are, like, they are fully insulated, and they keep your drinks cold, fully insulated on, like, regular koozies, so they keep it cold, and then they prevent anyone from dropping anything in when it's zipped up, and then they keep out bugs and sand at the beach. So pretty versatile product. And then we also have our new beer bottle tops, which just cover over your beers, so instead of putting your thumb all over it, like, well, and it keeps it more carbonated as well. So different products. And that's pretty much, that's where we're going at right now.
It's a wonderful product. I'm a firm believer in it. My sister was a victim of a spiked drink case way back in her youth. Luckily, she had good friends around her that recognized what happened and were able to remove her from the situation fast.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's a huge need for things like this.
Yeah, it's a serious problem. People think it's not real, but it goes unreported so often. And police won't really, they won't do anything about it unless, like, you're assaulted after or something like that. It has to be, they don't even consider it, like, a crime.
It's hard to prove, probably, for them.
It's hard to prove. It's, yeah, it's almost impossible to catch the people doing it. But, like, the people have serious reactions to it. I've gotten emails, DMs, phone calls, people saying my friend, like, died from their reaction with it. My friend's paralyzed, different things like that. And it's also used to, like, rob people. So it happens to men too, and people will rob, they'll drug them and they'll rob them.
Yeah, think about that. And
I, you know, there's something going on right now in Austin, Texas with, like, serial killers. And I heard that that may be involved with, like, drink spiking. And then they, you know, that's what Jeffrey Dahmer did. So
yeah,
it's a real issue, and especially on college campuses.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I'm glad you guys have got a solution for that, and that it's taking off really well, and that you're taking those knockoffs of, you know, these e-commerce sites. So good for you guys. Been a great time talking to you. I think that's all the time that we have for today. But before we end it here, if our listeners would like to learn more about you or your product, where can they get in touch?
So you can go to nightcapit.com. And you can also find us on Amazon. Just search Nightcap drink cover. And, you know, we're on pretty much every platform, Walmart, eBay. We're on Amazon in the UK, Canada, EU, all, pretty much everywhere you can find it. Just Google us, Nightcap Scrunchie.
Fantastic. Thanks again for your time, Michael. This was a really interesting conversation. I really enjoyed it, and I'm sure our listeners will too.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Future of IP Protection podcast brought to you by Mark Vision. If you enjoyed today's show, please do us a favor and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you'd like to learn more about how Mark Vision can help you transform your IP protection strategy, visit us at markvision.com. Thanks again, and I'll catch you on the next episode.